If you study the history of the Christian church, you'll find out that some of God's greatest saints have gone through a dark, deep night of depression. Over 8 million Americans are so depressed they can't cope. They miss work. They drop out. Many of them name the name of Christ. Many of God's choicest of saints have gone through periods of deep darkness, and they couldn't understand why. And David was one of them. And the very verse that he tells God that God is his rock, he's also saying, God, I don't understand. Someone has well said that life is not a problem to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. Take God's word and find Psalm 42. When you found it, look up here. What Psalm 42 deals with is depression and what to do when you're feeling depressed. When you say, I have fallen and I can't get up. Not physically, but emotionally. You're down in the dumps. You're in despair. You're depressed. Well, you say, that's never happened to me, Pastor. Well, just hang on. Hang on. You say, well, I'm a Christian. If you'll study the history of the Christian church, you'll find out that some of God's greatest saints have gone through a dark, deep night of depression. Well, let's look in this psalm. Look, if you will, in verse 42. The psalmist, chapter 42, verse 5. David asked this question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? He's talking here about depression, the severe problem of depression. Depression really can be a killer disease. In the study that I've done, I found out that depression is the second or third leading cause of death in some age groups. Not a bit uncommon to see a spouse die shortly after his or her mate has died. Now, I want to say this, that David wrote this psalm, the sweet singer of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's speaking to himself, a man of God. Now, David, I assume that David wrote this psalm. You know, others than David wrote psalms also. There's no superscription that says who wrote it, but I assume that David wrote it. And if he did write it, he had plenty of reason to be depressed. I mean, after all, David had a son, Absalom, that rebelled against him. A son that he loved with all of his heart. And then this rebellious son also is killed, and David now is deposed as the king. He's had to flee for his life. He's living like a partridge on the mountainside, hunted. He has no power. He has no possession. He's been deposed. He sinned against God. He's committed a horrible sin. He's lost a child by death. He's had a daughter that was raped. A son who'd done the dastardly deed. He'd had a wife that was raped. Now another son killed. The nation is in turmoil. Outwardly, he had some reason to be depressed. And as you look at this psalm, and as you study this psalm, you'll find out that the man who wrote this psalm gives almost a clinical case of severe depression. Look at it. Verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Write down spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness. Here's a man who says, God, I'm so thirsty for you, but I can't find you. I'm like a deer hunted by a pack of wild dogs. God, where are you? God, have you forgotten me? Look, if you will, in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Now, God had not forgotten him, and God has not forgotten you. But he felt like God had forgotten him. I was talking to a preacher who had been in the church for a long time, and they weren't treating him too well. And he said, I know that God put me here, but I just wonder if he remembers where he put me. That's what David felt. God, you have forgotten me. There's a spiritual dryness. And then there he's on continual crying jags. Look, if you will, in verse 3. My tears have been my meat, that is my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Continual crying jags. Now we all cry. Well, we all have sorrow. We all have heartaches. That comes, but that's not depression. The sorrows, the normal tears that we all shed, that's like a thunderstorm. But when a person gets in depression, it's like a front that moves through and just camps overhead. It's just a continual drizzle, just a continual dropping. That's sorrow. Where my tears have been my food day and night. Look again, if you will, in verse 3. He has a sense of shame and defeat. Look in the last part. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He has a feeling that he's let God down. Has a feeling that he's such a miserable example of a Christian. He feels so ashamed. He has no witness. He has no testimony. What a sense of guilt he has over that. All right, spiritual dryness, continual crying, feeling of shame. And then that's compounded by lingering memories of what used to be. Lingering memories. Look, if you will, in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He's looking backward. Looking backward to some better time when he used to have joy, used to have peace, satisfaction, friends and fellowship and worship, and it was so real to him. And now it's only a memory that haunts him. And he thinks it never can be this way again. And that just makes the sadness of the present, all the worse, because it's set against this background. And the sum total of all of that is just overwhelming circumstances. Look in verses 6 and 7. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, underscore that, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. What is the imagery here? This is poetry, but what's he talking about? He's having thoughts of death. He talks of Jordan. Jordan, in Bible typology, speaks of death. Jordan starts up there at Mount Hermon, beautiful, snow-capped all year round. It bubbles up there and comes and trickles down, and it runs that torturous route down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level at its surface and 1,300 feet deep, the lowest spot on the face of the earth, and the River Jordan runs down from the snow-capped mountains of Mount Hermon all the way down to the Dead Sea, and it buries itself there, never to rise again. And Jordan speaks of death. He says, all thy waterspouts have gone over me. What does he mean by waterspouts? He's talking about waterfalls. I've been up there at the headwaters of the Jordan. One of the most beautiful waterfalls you will ever see on this earth is right up there. I've stood there and looked at that torrential water coming out. And David says, this river of death has come over me. He's thinking about death, I believe. And when you get despondent enough, you think maybe death would be a welcome release. That's the way David was saying. He's saying, God, all your waterspouts have come over me. I feel the chilly waters of Jordan washing over me. He's depressed. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The severe problem of depression. Now, the spiritual provision for depression. Do we have to be depressed? Is there no hope? Have we fallen, and indeed can we not get up? No. There's hope. I want you to see, first of all, what you need to do when you're depressed. Now, you may not be clinically depressed. You may be on the margin. You may be on the bubble. You may be just mildly depressed. You may be just having a bad day. But this will apply to you wherever you are on that continuum. Number one, look inward with a firm look. Notice verses 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Now what's he saying? He's beginning to look inward. He's beginning to talk to himself. His soul is the man, the person. The soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will. I mean, he has an inward look, and it is a firm look. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He just talks back to himself. Have you ever talked back to yourself? Have you ever talked to yourself? One man said, I'm concerned about my wife. She always talks to herself. His friend says, does she know she's doing it? He says, oh no, she thinks I'm listening to her. Do you ever talk to yourself? You ought to. I mean, you're not wacko if you do that. David is talking to himself. He is taking a firm inward look. He's doing some spiritual analysis. He's asking himself this question, why am I depressed? Why am I depressed? You need to ask yourself that question. You can answer it perhaps better than anybody else, because nobody knows you like you. What man knows the spirit of man save the spirit of man that's in him? The things of man save the spirit of man that's in him. So you need to look yourself in the face and ask yourself this question, why am I depressed? And be honest. Second look you need to take. Look inward with a firm look, and then look upward with a faith look. Look, if you will, in verses 7-9. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. That is, the deepest emotions of my heart are crying out to you, O my God. All thy waves and billows are gone over me, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Here's the key verse, verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock. Look upward with a faith look. Whether you understand it or not, whether you've analyzed it correctly or not, look to Him, because He will never fail you. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't get the idea that God doesn't care about you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He is your God. And if nobody else understands you, if you don't have a friend anywhere, if you cannot see a solution, He will not fail you. When you take the inward look, then take the upward look and look to Him. This is not a platitude. I'm not just trying to tell you something that a preacher might say that doesn't work. I am telling you that your hope is God, and you need to look to Him in faith. If you put your faith anywhere else, sooner or later you're going down. You better tie your life to something that can stand. There is a rock, and that rock is God Himself. He cannot, He will not be moved. Now, you say, well, Pastor Rogers, do you mean if I come to God in all my troubles, He'll explain it to me and I'll understand? Nope. You may not understand. Look in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? In other words, here he is. He's saying, David is so wise in this psalm. He's saying, Lord, I don't understand. Why have you left me like this? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now, you know, as a pastor, there's one question that I'm asked over and over again when I meet people in depression. They say, Pastor, why? Why did this happen? Why? Why did my husband die? Why? Why did I lose my job? Why did the doctor? Why? Well, why is not your question, it's how. Why is God's question? How are you going to react? That's your question. God's ways are not your ways. Many of God's choicest of saints have gone through periods of deep darkness, and they couldn't understand why, and David was one of them. In the very verse that he tells God that God is his rock, he's also saying, God, I don't understand. Someone has well said that life is not a problem to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. Not a problem to be solved, a mystery to be lived. And Warren Wiersbe has reminded us that we do not live by explanations. We live by promises. So many other people, you know, they figure, well, if there is a God, why is He letting me down? He's not let you down. As a matter of fact, if there's something that has happened to you you cannot understand, think what an incredible opportunity for trust that is in you. Robert Frost, I think, said it perfectly. He said, it was of the essence of the trial that you shouldn't understand it at the time. It had to have unmeaning to have meaning. It was of the essence of the trial that you couldn't understand it. It had to have unmeaning to have meaning. You say, Pastor, I don't think I understand that. What he is saying is that if God explains it all to you, it kind of ceases to be a trial. But if you say, God, I don't understand it, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Yet you're my rock. Then you're coming to the place that Job came to when he said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Now, thirdly and finally and quickly, look, take the inward look, the firm inward look. Take the faith upward look. And finally, take a focused onward look. Notice verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. That's, he's looking to the future. I am coming out. I do have a hope. I will hope in God, no matter how bleak it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how despairing it is. I will hope in God, and I have hope. Friend, there are only two places where there is no hope. One is in heaven when you don't need it because faith has turned to reality. And the other is in hell where people have no hope. But as long as there is a God, there is hope. And I want to tell you today, if you're depressed and listening to me, hope in God. Say, you're Lord, my rock. And I will yet praise you. By your grace and in your time, you'll turn every hurt to a hallelujah, every tear to a pearl, every midnight to a sunrise, and every Calvary to an Easter. I will yet praise you. I will. And don't you lose hope. Maybe that God is taking everything else away from you to cause you to trust in Him and hope in Him alone. To bring you to the verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. St. Augustine asked this question. It's one of the most penetrating questions I've ever heard. He said, suppose God were to come to you and God would offer you a contract, a deal. God were to say to you, you can have whatever you want. You will live everlastingly. You will have all power. Every longing will be satisfied. Nothing will be a sin to you. Nothing will be forbidden to you. You can have everything you want, as much as you want. Joy, peace, long life, success, everlasting life. You can have anything you want, with this one exception. You will never see my face. Augustine asked, would you take that deal? And he said, if you would say no, then you have the pure love of God. But he said, if a chill went over your soul when you heard that phrase, you will never see my face, he said, thank God. Because you're saying God means more to me than all this world and all the universes put together. You see, I don't think that God is really finished with us until our chief delight is God alone. And when our chief delight is God alone, no matter how dark, how deep, how dismal, how despairing, when God and God alone is our chief desire, and we'll say, I don't care what happens. He is God. And I will yet praise Him and see His face. Take a firm inward look. Take a faith upward look. And take a focused future look. And if you're depressed, I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't let Satan blow out the light of hope in your heart and in your life. He is not finished with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you would like to know this God, no one moving, please. If you would like to know this God, if you'd like to be saved, I want to invite you to pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know that you love me and I know that you want to save me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you paid for my sin with your blood on that cross. I believe that God raised you from the dead. You promised if I would trust you, you would save me, and I do trust you. Would you tell him that I do trust you right now with all of my heart? Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me, Lord Jesus. Pray it and mean it. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you ask him? Now I want you to seal it by praying this. Lord Jesus, I am trusting you to save me. And because I'm trusting you, I'll make it public. I'll not be ashamed of you because you died for me. In your name I pray. Amen.